Lessons in Hindsight. I try to pass along the bits of wisdom I learned from my rich dad. When I am asked how I invest, I usually tell the group about investing through a business, or, as Rich Dad said, my business buys my assets. Invariably, people raise their hands and say things such as, "But I am an employee and I do not own my own business." Not everyone can own a business. Starting a business is risky. I don't have any money to invest. To these types of responses to Rich Dad's investment plan, I offer these ideas. To the statement that not everyone can own a business, I remind people that less than 100 years ago, most people did own their own businesses. Just 100 years ago, approximately 85% of the U.S. population was either independent farmers or small shopkeepers. I know that both sets of my grandparents were small business owners. Only a small percentage of the population was comprised of employees. I then say, it seems that the industrial age, with its promise of high-paying jobs, job security for life, and pension benefits, has bred that independence out of us. I also add that our educational system was designed to create employees and professional people, not entrepreneurs, so it would be only natural for people to feel that starting a business would be risky. The points I make are, 1. Chances are that you all have the potential to be great business owners if you have the desire to develop the skills. Our ancestors developed and depended upon their entrepreneurial skills. If you do not have a business today, the question is, do you want to go through the process of learning how to build a business? You are the only one who can answer that question. 2. When people say, "I have no money to invest," or "I need a real estate deal I can buy for no money down," I reply, "Maybe you should switch quadrants and invest from the quadrant that allows you to invest with pre-tax dollars. Then you might have a lot more money to invest." One of the first considerations in your investment plan should be to decide in which quadrant lies the best opportunity for you to make the most money quickly. That way, you can begin investing for the highest returns with the least risk, and you'll have the best chance of becoming very, very rich. Chapter 28. Keep your day job and still become rich. Once I decided to build a business, the next problem facing me was that I had no money. First, I did not know how to build a business. Second, I had no money to build a business with. And third, I had no money to live on. Feeling weak in the stomach and lacking confidence in myself, I called Rich Dad and asked him what I should do. He immediately said, "Go get a job." His reply shocked me. "I thought you were telling me to start my own business." "Yes, I did, but you still have to eat and put a roof over your head," he said. I have shared with countless people what he said to me next. Rule number one in becoming an entrepreneur is to never take a job for money. Take a job only for the long-term skills you will learn. The first and only job I got after the Marine Corps was with the Xerox Corporation. I chose it because it had the best sales training program. Rich Dad knew I was very shy and terrified of rejection. He recommended I learn to sell, not for the money, but to learn to overcome my personal fears. Each day, I had to go from office building to office building, knocking on doors, trying to sell people a Xerox machine. It was a very painful learning process, yet this process has made me millions of dollars over the years. Rich Dad would say, "If you cannot sell, you cannot be an entrepreneur." For 2 years, I was the worst salesperson in the Honolulu branch. I took extra classes on selling, bought tapes, and listened to them. Finally, after nearly being fired several times, I began to make sales. Although I was still painfully shy, the sales training helped me to develop the skills I needed to acquire wealth. The problem was that no matter how hard I worked and how many machines I sold, I was always short of cash. I had no money with which to invest or to start a business. One day, I told Rich Dad that I planned to take a part-time job to supplement my income so I could invest. That was the moment he had been waiting for. Rich Dad said, "The biggest mistake people make is that they work too hard for their money." He went on, saying, "Most people do not get ahead financially because when they need more money, they take a part-time job. If they really want to get ahead, they need to keep their day job and start a part-time business." "It is time for you to start your business, part-time," he said. "Don't waste your time with a part-time job. A part-time job keeps you in the E quadrant, but a part-time business moves you towards the B quadrant. Most big companies are started as part-time businesses." In 1977, I started my nylon and Velcro wallet business part-time. Many of you are familiar with that product line today. From 1977 to 1978, I worked very hard at Xerox, eventually becoming one of the top sales representatives in the branch. In my spare time, I was also building a business that would soon become a worldwide multi-million-dollar business. When people ask me if I loved my product line, a line that consisted of colorful nylon wallets, nylon watch bands, and nylon shoe pockets that attached to the laces of a running shoe and held a key, money, and ID card, I answer, no. I was not in love with the product line, but I did enjoy the challenge of building the business. I mention this point specifically because so many people tell me such things as, 1. I have a great idea for a new product. 2. You have to feel passionate about your product. 3. I'm looking for the right product before I begin my business. To these people, I generally say, the world is filled with great ideas for new products. The world is also filled with great products, but the world is short of great business people. The primary reason to start a business part-time is not so much to make a great product. The real reason for starting a part-time business is to make yourself a great business person. Great products are a dime a dozen, but great business people are rare and rich. If you look at Bill Gates, founder of Microsoft, he did not even invent his software product. He bought it from a group of computer programmers and then went on to build one of the most powerful and influential companies in world history. Gates did not build a great product, but he did build a great business that helped him become the richest man in the world. Do not bother trying to make a great product. Focus more on starting a business so you can learn to become a great business owner. Michael Dell of Dell Computers started his part-time business in his dormitory at the University of Texas. He had to quit school because his part-time business was making him far richer than any job he was studying for. Jeff Bezos started Amazon.com in a garage on a part-time basis. That young man is a billionaire today. Lessons in hindsight. Many people dream of starting their own business, but never do because they're afraid of failing. Many other people dream of becoming rich, but don't because they lack the skills and experience. The business skill and experience is where money really comes from. Rich Dad said to me, "The education you receive in school is important, but the education you receive on the street is even better." Starting a business at home part-time allows you to learn priceless business skills and subjects such as 1. Communication skills, 2. Leadership skills, 3. Team building skills, 4. Tax law, 5. Corporate law, 6. Securities law. These skills and subjects cannot be learned in a weekend course or in a single book. I continue to study them today. The more I study them, the more my businesses improve. One reason people learn so much by starting a part-time business is that they start as insiders in their own business. If someone can learn to build businesses, a whole new world with virtually unlimited financial opportunity becomes available. One of the problems with being in the E quadrant or the S quadrant, however, is that the opportunities are often limited by how hard one person can work and how many hours there are in a day. Chapter 29, The Entrepreneurial Spirit. People invest for two basic reasons. One, to save for retirement. Two, to make a lot of money. While most of us invest for both reasons, and both are important, it seems that the majority of people lean more toward the first reason. They put money away as savers and hope it will increase in value over time. They invest, but they are more concerned about losing than winning. I have met many people whose fear of losing prevents them from acting. People need to be true to their emotional senses when investing. If the pain and the fear of losing are too great, it is best for that investor to invest very conservatively. Yet, if you look at the great wealth of this world, that wealth has not come from cautious investors. The great changes in this world have come from investors backing what my rich dad called the entrepreneurial spirit. One of my favorite stories is that of Christopher Columbus, a brave Italian explorer who believed the world was round and who had a bold plan to find a faster route to the riches of Asia. However, the popular belief of his day was that the world was flat. Everyone thought that Columbus would sail off the edge of the earth if he attempted his plan. In order to test his theory that the world was round, Columbus had to go to the royalty of Spain and convince them to invest in his business venture. King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella put up what is called the front money and invested in his business venture. My history teacher in school tried to tell me that the money was raised to further knowledge via exploration. My rich dad told me that it was purely a business venture that needed capital. The king and queen knew that if this entrepreneur named Columbus succeeded in sailing west to reach the east, they would earn a high return on their investment. Columbus and the king and queen who backed him all had the true spirit of the entrepreneur. The king and queen did not invest to lose money. They invested because they wanted to make more money. It was the spirit of venturing or risk with the possibility of great reward. They invested in that spirit. Why start a business? As I began to formulate my plans to start my part-time business, Rich Dad was adamant about the spirit with which I undertook this new adventure, the adventure of building a worldwide business. He said, "You build a business because of the challenge. You build a business because it is exciting. It's challenging, and it will require everything you've got to make it successful." Rich Dad wanted me to start a business in order to find my entrepreneurial spirit. He often said, "The world is filled with people with great ideas, but only a few people with great fortunes from their ideas." So he encouraged me to start a business, any business. He did not care about what the product was or how much I liked the product. He was not concerned about my failing. He just wanted me to start. Today, I see so many people with great ideas who are afraid to start, or they start, fail, and quit. That is why Rich Dad often quoted Einstein saying, "Great spirits have always encountered violent opposition from mediocre minds." He wanted me to simply start any business just so that I could challenge my own mediocre mind and, in the process, develop my entrepreneurial spirit. Rich Dad would also say, "The main reason so many people buy assets rather than create them is that they have not called upon their own entrepreneurial spirit to take their ideas and turn those ideas into great fortunes." Don't do it for only $200,000. Going back to the definition of the accredited investor, Rich Dad said, "All a person needs to do to be an accredited investor is have a salary of $200,000. That is a lot of money to some people, but it is not enough of a reason to start building a business. If all you dream of is a salary of $200,000, then stay in the E or S quadrants. The risks are too great in the B and I quadrants for such a small sum. If you decide to build a business, don't do it for a mere $200,000. The risks are too high for a payoff so low. Do it for a much bigger payday. Do it for millions, maybe billions, or don't do it at all. But if you decide to pursue building a business, you must call on your entrepreneurial spirit. Rich Dad also said, "There is no such thing as a successful poor entrepreneur or business owner. You can be a successful and poor doctor or a successful and poor accountant, but you cannot be a successful and poor business owner. There is only one kind of successful business owner, and that is a rich one." Lessons in hindsight. I am often asked, how much is too much? Or how much is enough? The person who asks that question is often someone who has never built a successful business that made a lot of money. I have also noticed that many of the people who ask that question are in the E and S quadrants. Another big difference between people on the left side and people on the right side is that the people on the left side generally have only one financial statement because they often have only one source of income. Those on the right side have multiple financial statements and multiple sources of income. My wife and I are employees of several corporations in which we also have ownership interests. Therefore, we have financial statements as individuals and financial statements from our businesses. As our businesses become successful and generate cash flow for us, we take less income as employees. Many people on the left side do not know what it feels like to have more and more money coming in that requires less and less work. While the money is important, it is not the primary motivating factor for building a business. I think the question can best be answered by asking the same question in another way. The question is similar to asking a golfer, "Why do you keep playing golf?" The answer is found in the spirit of the game. Although it took me many years of occasional pain and misery, the challenge and the spirit were always the propelling factors for my desire to build a business. Today, I have friends who have sold their businesses for millions of dollars. Many of them take a few months off, and then they are right back in the game. It is the excitement, the challenge, the spirit, and the potential for a big payoff at the end that keeps the entrepreneur going. Before I built my nylon and Velcro wallet business, my rich dad wanted me to make sure I was doing it with that spirit. The entrepreneurial spirit is a valuable asset in building a successful B business. Many successful capitalists today are still entrepreneurs in their hearts. Phase 3. How do you build a strong business? Chapter 30. Why build a business? Rich Dad said, "There are three reasons for building a business other than to simply create an asset. 1. To provide excess cash flow." In his book, How to Be Rich, Paul Getty states that his first rule is that you must be in business for yourself. He goes on to imply that you will never get rich working for someone else. One of the primary reasons Rich Dad started so many businesses was that he had excess cash flow from his other businesses. He also had the time because his businesses required minimal effort on his part. This allowed him the free time and extra money to keep investing in more and more assets tax-free. That is why he became rich so quickly and why he said to mind your own business. 2. To sell it. The problem with having a job is that you cannot sell the job, regardless of how hard you work. The problem with building a business in the S quadrant is that there is usually a limited market that would want to buy it. For example, if a dentist builds a practice, generally the only other person who may want to buy it is another dentist. To Rich Dad, that was too narrow of a market. He said, for something to be valuable, there must be many more people than you who want it. The problem with an S-quadrant business is that you are often the only person who wants it. Rich Dad said, an asset is something that puts money in your pocket, or it can be sold to someone else for more than you have paid or invested in it. If you can build a successful business, you will always have a lot of money. If you learn to build a successful business, you will have developed a profession that few people ever achieve. In 1975, while I was learning to sell Xerox machines, I came across a young man who owned 4 quick copy print shops in Honolulu. The reason he was in the business of making copies was interesting. While in school, he had run the university's copy shop and learned the business side of the operation. When he came out of school, there were no jobs, so he opened up a copy shop in downtown Honolulu doing what he knew best. Soon, he had 4 of these copy centers in 4 of the bigger downtown office buildings, all on long-term leases. A major copy shop chain came to town and made him an offer he could not refuse. He took their $750,000, a giant sum in those days, bought a boat, gave $500,000 to a professional money manager, and sailed around the world. When he returned a year and a half later, the manager had grown his investment to nearly $900,000. So the young man just sailed off again, back to the islands of the South Pacific. I was the guy who sold him the copy machines, and all I got was my small commission. He was the guy who built a business, sold it, and sailed away. I never saw him again after 1978, but I have heard that he pulls back into town every so often, checks his portfolio, and sails off again. My rich dad said, as a business owner, you don't have to be right 51% of the time. You need to be right only once. He also said, building a business is the riskiest road for most people. But if you can survive and keep improving your skills, your potential for wealth is unlimited. If you avoid risk and play it safe on the E and S side, you may be safer, but you'll also limit what you can truly earn. 3. To build a business and take it public. This was Rich Dad's idea of becoming what he called the ultimate investor. It was building a business and taking it public that made Bill Gates, Henry Ford, Warren Buffett, Ted Turner, and Anita Roddick very, very wealthy. They were the selling shareholders while we were all the buying shareholders. They were insiders while we were outsiders trying to look in. You're never too old and you're never too young. If anyone tells you that you can't build a business that others want to buy, use that small-minded thought to inspire you. It is true that Gates was very young when he started Microsoft, but Colonel Sanders was 66 when he started Kentucky Fried Chicken. In the next few chapters, I will be describing what Rich Dad called the BI triangle. I use this triangle as a guide to building a business. It outlines the primary technical skills that are required. Rich Dad also felt certain personal traits were required to be a successful entrepreneur. Vision, the ability to see what others cannot see. Courage, the ability to act despite tremendous doubt. Creativity, the ability to think outside the box. The ability to withstand criticism. There is not one successful person who has not been criticized. The ability to delay gratification. It can be very difficult to learn to deny short-term, immediate self-gratification in favor of a greater long-term reward. Chapter 31, The BI Triangle. The Key to Great Wealth. Rich Dad called the BI triangle the key to great wealth. The BI triangle was very important to Rich Dad because it gave structure to his ideas. As he often said, there are many people with great ideas, but few people with great fortunes. The BI triangle has the power to turn ordinary ideas into great fortunes. The BI triangle is the guide to taking an idea and creating an asset. It represents the knowledge required to be successful on the B&I side of the cash flow quadrant. I have modified it a little over the years. I was about 16 years old when I first saw this diagram. Rich Dad drew it for me when I started asking him the following questions. 1. How is it that you have so many businesses and other people can barely handle one? 2. Why do your businesses grow while other people's businesses stay small? 3. How do you have free time when other business owners work constantly? 4. Why do so many businesses start and then fail so quickly? I did not ask him all these questions at the same time, yet they were questions that came to mind as I studied his businesses. Rich Dad was about 40 years old, and I was amazed at how he could run several different companies, all in different industries. For example, he had a restaurant business, a fast food business, a convenience store chain, a trucking company, a real estate construction business, and a property management business. I knew he was following his plan to have his businesses buy his true investments, which, for him, was real estate. But it was amazing how many businesses he could run all at the same time. When I asked him how he could start, own, and manage so many businesses, his response was to draw the BI triangle. Today, I own interests in several different companies in completely different businesses because I use the BI triangle as a guide. I do not own as many companies as Rich Dad did, but by following the same formula outlined in the BI triangle, I could own more if I wanted to. Explaining the BI triangle. Obviously, the amount of material that could be written and needs to be written to cover the information represented by the BI triangle is more than this book could cover. However, we will review the basics. Mission. Rich Dad said, a business needs both a spiritual and a business mission to be successful, especially at the beginning. When he explained this diagram to his son and me, he always began with the mission since he thought it to be the most important aspect of the triangle, which is why it was at the base. If the mission is clear and strong, the business will weather the trials every business goes through during its first 10 years. When a business gets big and it forgets its mission, or the mission it was created for is no longer needed, the business begins to die. Rich Dad chose the words spiritual and business. He said, many people start a business only to make money. Just to make money is not a strong enough mission. Money alone does not provide enough fire, drive, or desire. The mission of a business should fill a need that the customers want. And if it fills that need, and fills it well, the business will begin to make money. When it came to the spiritual component of the mission, Rich Dad said, Henry Ford was a man driven by a spiritual goal first and a business goal second. He wanted to make the automobile available to the masses, not just the rich. That is why his mission statement was, democratize the automobile. When the spiritual mission and business mission are both strong and in line, the combined power builds huge businesses. Rich Dad's spiritual mission and business mission were closely in line. His spiritual mission was to provide jobs and opportunities for many of the poor people to whom he served food in his restaurants. Rich Dad thought the mission of a business was very important, although it was hard to see and to measure. He said, without a strong mission, a business is not likely to survive its first 5 to 10 years. He also said, at the start of a business, the mission and the entrepreneur's spirit are essential for the business to survive. The spirit and mission must be preserved long after the entrepreneur is gone or the business will die. The mission of a business is a reflection of the spirit of the entrepreneur. General Electric was a company founded from the brilliance of Thomas Edison, and it has grown by preserving the spirit of the great inventor by continuing to invent new and innovative products. Ford Motor Company has survived by continuing in the tradition of Henry Ford. Today, I believe that Bill Gates' spirit continues to drive Microsoft to dominate the world of software. By contrast, when Steve Jobs was pushed out of Apple and a management team from the traditional corporate world replaced him, the company went downhill rapidly. As soon as Jobs was brought back into Apple, the spirit of the company rebounded, new products came forth, profitability increased, and the share price went up. Although the mission of a business is hard to measure, impossible to see, and for all practical purposes an intangible, most of us have experienced it. We can identify the mission of someone who is trying only to sell us something for a commission just as easily as we can tell when someone is trying to help meet our needs. As the world becomes crowded with more and more products, the businesses that survive and do well financially will be businesses that focus on serving and fulfilling the company's spiritual mission, their customers' needs, rather than just increasing the company's revenues. The Rich Dad Company, the company that Kim and I created, has the following mission: to elevate the financial well-being of humanity. By being clear and true to the dual spiritual and business mission of this company, we have enjoyed great success. By being clear on our mission, we attract individuals and other groups aligned with a similar mission. Some people call it luck. I call it being true to our mission. Over the years, I have come to believe that Rich Dad was right about the importance of having the spiritual mission and business mission be strong and in line. In fact, it's one single two-pronged mission. In all truthfulness, not all of my businesses have as strong a dual mission as the Rich Dad Company does. Other businesses in which I own interests have stronger business missions than spiritual missions. I now realize that my nylon and Velcro wallet business had a very different mission than I first thought. The mission for building that business was to give me a fast education about building a worldwide business. That business fulfilled that mission rather painfully. In other words, I got what I wanted. The business grew very quickly, success was fast and furious, and so was the crash. Yet, as painful as the experience was, I realized that I had achieved my mission. After I dug myself out from under the rubble and rebuilt the business, I learned what I set out to learn. As Rich Dad said, many entrepreneurs don't really become business people until after they lose their first business. In other words, I learned more by losing the business and rebuilding it than I did by being successful. As Rich Dad said, school is important, but the street is a better teacher. My first big business venture after leaving the Marine Corps was expensive and painful, but the lessons I learned were priceless. The business had fulfilled its mission. The entrepreneur's spirit. A company's mission helps it maintain focus. In the early stages of development, many factors can cause distraction. The best way to get back on track is to revisit your mission. Does the distraction affect the achievement of your mission? If so, you must deal with the distraction as quickly as possible so that you can refocus your efforts on the overall mission. Today, I notice many people becoming instant millionaires, even billionaires, just by taking a company public through an IPO. I often wonder if the company's mission was just to make money for owners or investors, or whether the company was really formed to fulfill a mission or some kind of service. I am afraid that many of these new IPOs will ultimately fail because their only mission is to make money quickly. Besides, it is in the mission of the company that the entrepreneur's spirit is found. Team. Rich Dad always said, business is a team sport. He went on saying, Investing is a team sport. He would also say, the problem with being in the E and S quadrant is that you as an individual play the game against a team. One of Rich Dad's strongest criticisms of the educational system was, in school, they train students to take tests on their own. If a child attempts to cooperate at test time, it is called cheating. In the real world of business, business owners cooperate at test time. And in the world of business, every day is test time. A very important lesson. For people considering building a powerful and successful business, I think this lesson on teamwork is crucial. It is one of the primary keys to my financial success. Business and investing are team sports, and remember that every day in business is test time. To be successful in school, you had to take tests alone. In business, success comes from taking tests as a team, not as an individual. People in the E and S quadrant often make less money than they could or would like to because they attempt to do things on their own. If they work as a group, especially those in the E quadrant, they form a union instead of a team. Many investors today are trying to invest as individuals. I see and read about thousands of people who are doing online day trading. This is a perfect example of an individual trying to trade against well-organized teams. That is why so few of them succeed and why many lose their money. I was taught that when it comes to investing, you should invest as a team member. Rich Dad would say, if people want to become sophisticated investors and more, they must invest as a team. On Rich Dad's team were his accountants, his attorneys, his brokers, his financial advisors, his insurance agents, and his bankers. I use the plurals here because he always had more than one advisor. When he made a decision, it was with his team's input. Today, I do the same. A big team before a big boat. On television today, I see commercials of a rich couple sailing their yacht in some warm tropical waters. The ad seems to draw in all the individuals who are trying to get rich on their own. Whenever I see that commercial, I often think of Rich Dad saying to me, most small business people dream of someday owning a boat or a plane. That is why they will never own that boat or plane. When I was first starting out, I dreamed of having my own team of accountants and attorneys, not a boat. Rich Dad wanted me to aim to have a team of accountants and attorneys working only on my business before I dreamed of a boat. To drive his point home, he had me go to an accountant in town with my meager little tax return. As I sat across the table from Ron, the CPA, the first thing I noticed was a stack of manila folders sitting on his desk. Immediately, I got Rich Dad's lesson. This CPA was minding about 30 other businesses on that day alone. How could he pay full attention to my business? Returning to Rich Dad's office that afternoon, I saw something I had never noticed before. As I sat in the reception area waiting for Rich Dad's personal secretary to let me in, I could see a team of people working only on Rich Dad's business. In the working area of his office was a row of bookkeepers, about 14 of them. There were also 5 full-time accountants and a chief financial officer. He also had 2 full-time attorneys working in his main office. When I sat down in front of Rich Dad, all I said was, "They're all minding your businesses and no one else's." Rich Dad nodded. As I said, most people work hard and dream of getting away on their own boat. I first dreamed of having a team of full-time accountants and attorneys. That is why I can now have the big boat and the free time. It is a matter of priorities. How do you afford the team? I am often asked, how can you afford to pay for this team? That question usually comes from someone in the E or S quadrant. Again, the difference goes back to the different laws and rules for the different quadrants. For example, when a person in the E quadrant pays for professional services, they do so with after-tax money. business owners pay their business expenses first before they pay taxes. That means they have more money before taxes to pay their team and have less net income left over for the government to tax. There is also a difference between the B quadrant business owner and the S quadrant business owner. The B quadrant business owner does not hesitate to pay for these services because the business system, the entire BI triangle, is paying for the services. S quadrant business owners are often paying for the services out of their own sweat and blood, so most of them cannot afford to hire a full-time staff because they often do not earn enough to cover their own financial needs. The best education. My answer is the same when I am asked questions such as, how did you learn so much about investing and business? How do you get such high returns with such low risk? What gives you the confidence to invest in what others see as risky? How do you find the best deals? I answer, my team. My team consists of my accountants, attorneys, bankers, brokers, and so on. When people say building a business is risky, they often speak from a point of view of doing it alone, a habit they learned from school. In my opinion, not building a business is risky. By not building a business, you are failing to gain priceless real-world experience, and you are failing to get the best education in the world, the education that comes from your team of advisors. As Rich Dad would say, people who play it safe lose out on the best education in the world, and they waste a lot of precious time. Time is our most valuable asset, especially as you get older. As someone once lamented, the most unexpected thing that happens to us is old age. Tetrahedrons and teams. I am often asked, what is the difference between a B quadrant business and an S quadrant business? My reply is, the team. Most S quadrant businesses are either structured as sole proprietorships or partnerships. They could be teams, but not the kind of team I am talking about. Just as people in the E quadrant often bind together as a union, people in the S quadrant often organize as a partnership. When I think of a team, I think of different types of people with different skills coming together to work together. In a union or partnership, such as the teacher's union or a law partnership, the same kinds of people and professions often come together. One of my greatest teachers was Dr. R. Buckminster Fuller. Dr. Fuller set out years ago to find what he called the building blocks of the universe. In his search, he found out that squares and cubes do not exist in nature. He would say, tetrahedrons are the basic building blocks of nature. When I look at the Great Pyramids of Egypt, I understand a little more about what Dr. Fuller was talking about. While tall skyscrapers come and go, those pyramids have withstood the test of time through many centuries. Dr. Fuller was looking for a stable structure in the universe, and he found it in the tetrahedron. The different models. The prefix tetra means four. In other words, it has 4 points. After studying with Dr. Fuller, I began to see the importance of having structures with a minimum of 4. It's no coincidence that the cash flow quadrant has 4 parts. A well-managed business will have excellent employees. In this instance, I say the E stands for both excellent and essential because the employees are responsible for the day-to-day activities of the business. The E also stands for extension, because the employees are the extension of the business owner and represent the business to the customer. The specialists are typically from the S quadrant. The S stands for specialized because each specialist will guide you based on his or her area of expertise. While specialists may not participate daily, their guidance is invaluable in keeping your business moving in the right direction. The structure has a better chance of being stable and enduring if the four points are working in concert. While the investors provide the funding, the business owners must work with the specialists and employees to develop the business and make it grow so there will be a return on the investor's original investment. Another interesting tetra relationship I came across is the four fundamental elements that make up this world we live in, which the ancients believed to be earth, air, fire, and rain, water. In a sole proprietorship, as well as in a partnership, in order to be successful, the individual needs to be all four: investor, business owner, employee, and specialist, or earth, air, fire, and rain, which is difficult. While most of us have all four elements in us, we each tend to be weighted predominantly to one of the elements. For example, I am fire, born under the signs of Aries and the planet Mars. That means I am good at starting things, but not completing them. By having a tetrahedron, I am better able to be successful than if I were on my own. My wife Kim, on the other hand, is earth. She and I have a good marriage because she has a grounding effect on me as well as on the people I upset around me. She often says, "Speaking to you is like speaking to a blowtorch." Without her, I would have nothing but angry and upset people around the company. As the company grew, people came and went until the right Tetra team finally locked in place. Once this model stabilized, the company began to radiate out, growing rapidly and with stability. I am not saying this is a hard and fast rule for a successful business. However, all one needs to do is look at the pyramids of Egypt, and a sense of strength, stability, and longevity comes to mind. Only two elements. I often jokingly say that if you put only two elements together, as in a partnership, you get some strange phenomena. For example, air and water equals spray. Air and earth equals dust. Water and earth equals mud. Earth and fire equals lava or ashes. Fire and water equals steam. Fire and air equals flame. A team is made up of different levels. One of the first things I look at as an investor is the team behind the business. If the team is weak or lacks experience and a proven track record, I rarely invest. I meet many people who are running around trying to raise money for their new product or business. The biggest problems most of them have are that they personally lack experience and they have no team behind them, a team that inspires confidence. Many people want me to invest in their business plan. One of the things most of them say is, "Once this company is up and running, we're going to take it public." That statement always intrigues me, so I ask, "Who on your team has experience taking a company public, and how many companies has that person taken public?" If the answer to that question is weak, I know I am listening to a sales pitch more than to a business plan. Another line I look at in the numbers of a business plan is the line item called salaries. If the salaries are high, I know I am looking at people who are raising money in order to pay themselves fat salaries. I ask them if they are willing to work for free or to cut the salaries in half. If the answer is weak or a definite no, I know the true mission of their business. The mission of the business is probably to provide them a job with a nice salary. Investors invest in management. They look at the team within the proposed business and want to see experience, passion, and commitment. It is hard for me to believe that there is a high level of commitment from people who are trying to raise money to pay their own salaries. A word on games. Games are important because they encourage cooperative learning. In the real world, being able to cooperate with as many people as possible and helping people without crippling them are very important human skills. Games encourage people to learn cooperatively and to teach each other, because the more we teach, the more we learn. Too much of our children's lives is already spent in isolation. They spend hours alone in front of a computer, alone watching TV, and alone taking tests. We then wonder why so many children are antisocial. To be successful, we all need to learn to get along with many different types of people. For this reason, games such as Cash Flow are important because they require you to play with other human beings. We need to learn to operate as individuals as well as members of a team, and we can always improve those skills. Money follows management. I often mention that money follows management in the world of business capital. To succeed, a business must have the proper expertise in key areas. When you do not have the money up front to hire the talent you need, consider attracting the talent as members of an advisory board with the understanding that once sufficient capital is raised, your team will come on board. Your chance of success is much stronger if your management team has a track record of success in the business or industry of your proposed business. Your team also includes your outside advisors. Proper guidance from your accountants, tax advisors, financial advisors, and legal counsel is imperative for building a strong, successful business. If your business is real estate, your real estate brokers become an important part of your team. Although these advisors can be expensive, their advice can provide you with an incredible return on your investment by helping you structure a strong business while avoiding pitfalls along the way. Leadership. And that leads to the next part of the BI triangle, leadership, because every team needs a leader. One reason I attended a federal military academy rather than a normal university was that Rich Dad knew I needed to develop leadership skills if I wanted to become an entrepreneur. After graduation, I went into the U.S. Marine Corps and became a pilot to test my skills in the real world in a place called Vietnam. I still remember the commanding officer of my squadron saying, "Gentlemen, your most important job is to ask your troops to risk their lives for you, your team, and your country." He went on, saying, "If you don't inspire them to do that, they will probably shoot you in the back." Troops do not follow a leader who does not lead. The same thing goes on in business today and every day. More businesses fail from the inside than from the outside. In Vietnam, I learned that one of the most important qualities of a leader is trust. As a helicopter pilot with a crew of four, I had to trust my life to my team, and they had to entrust their lives to me. If that trust was ever broken, I knew that we would probably not come back alive. Rich Dad would say, "A leader's job is to bring out the best in people, not to be the best person." If you are the smartest person on your business team, your business is in trouble. When people ask how they can gain leadership skills, I always say the same thing: volunteer more. In most organizations, it is hard to find people who actually want to lead. Most people just hide in the corner, hoping no one will call on them. I tell them, "At your church, volunteer to take on projects. At work, volunteer to lead projects." Now, volunteering alone will not necessarily make you a great leader, but if you accept the feedback and correct yourself well, you can grow into a great leader. Through volunteering, you can get feedback on your real-life leadership skills. If you volunteer to lead and no one follows, you have some real-life learning and correcting to do. If you volunteer to lead and no one follows, ask for feedback and corrective support. Doing so is one of the greatest traits of a leader. I see many businesses that struggle or fail because the leader will not accept feedback from peers or the workers in the company. My squadron's commanding officers in the Marine Corps would often say, "True leaders are not born leaders. True leaders want to be leaders and are willing to be trained to be leaders. And training means being big enough to take corrective feedback." A true leader also knows when to listen to others. I have said before that I am not a good businessman or investor. I am average. I rely on the advice of my advisors and team members to help me be a better leader. Visionary, cheerleader, and pit bull. A leader's roles are a combination of visionary, cheerleader, and pit bull. As a visionary, the leader must keep his or her focus on the corporate mission. As a cheerleader, he or she must inspire the team as it works together towards that mission, as well as herald the successes along the way. As the pit boss, he or she must be able to make the tough calls regarding issues that distract the team from achieving the mission. The unique ability to take decisive action while maintaining focus on the ultimate mission is what defines a true leader. With the right mission, team, and leader, you are well on your way to building a strong B business. As I said earlier, money follows management. It is at this point that you can start attracting money from outside investors. 5 building blocks are essential to developing a strong business: cash flow, communications, systems, legal, and product. Each of these will be discussed separately in the chapters that follow. Chapter 32, Cash Flow Management. Rich Dad would say, "Cash flow management is a fundamental and essential skill if a person truly wants to be successful in the B and I quadrants." That is why he insisted that Mike and I read financial statements of other companies. In fact, he spent most of his time teaching us to be financially literate. He would say, "Financial literacy allows you to read the numbers, and the numbers tell you the story of the business based on facts." If you ask most bankers, accountants, or loan officers, they will tell you that many people are weak financially simply because they are not financially literate. I have a friend who is a respected accountant in Australia. He once said to me, "It is shocking to see a perfectly good business go down just because the owners are not financially literate." Many small business owners fail because they do not know the difference between profit and cash flow. As a result, many very profitable businesses go broke. They fail to realize that profit and cash flow are not the same things. Rich Dad would drum into my head the importance of cash flow management. Business owners need to see the 2 types of cash flow if they want to be successful. There is actual cash flow, and there is phantom cash flow. It is the awareness of these 2 cash flows that makes you rich or poor. One of the skills the cash flow games teach is how to recognize the differences between these 2 types of cash flow. Repeatedly playing the game helps many people begin to sense the differences. That is why the positioning statement of the game is, "The more you play this game, the richer you become." You become richer because your mind begins to sense the often invisible phantom cash flow. Rich Dad also said, "The ability to run a company from financial statements is one of the primary differences between a small business owner and a big business owner." Cash flow tips. Cash flow is to a business what blood is to the human body. Nothing can impact a business more dramatically than not being able to make payroll one Friday. Proper cash flow management starts on the first day you begin your business. When Kim and I started the Rich Dad Company, we agreed that no purchase would be made if it were not justified by an increase in sales. In fact, we often chuckle about our strategy for increasing book sales early in 1998 so we could buy a $300 copy machine. Our strategy worked, and by December 1998, we were able to replace that $300 well-worn copy machine with a new $3,000 one. It is this attention to detail in the early stages of your business that will set the tone for your success. Good cash flow managers review their cash position daily, looking at cash sources and needs for the next week, month, and quarter. This allows them to plan for any large cash need before it becomes a cash crisis. This type of review is imperative for a company that is growing quickly. I have listed some cash flow tips that may help you in structuring your business. Each step applies to your business, whether it is an international business, a single rental unit, or a hot dog stand. Initial corporate startup phase. Delay taking a salary until your business is generating cash flow from sales. In some cases, this may not be possible due to an extended development period. However, your investors will be much more supportive if they see that you are sharing in the development process by investing your time. We advise keeping your full-time job and starting your business part-time. By delaying taking a salary, you can reinvest sales to help grow your business. Sales and accounts receivable. Invoice your customers quickly upon shipment of goods or when services are provided. Require payment upfront until credit has been established. Require that credit applications be completed before granting credit and always check references. Standard credit forms are available at office supply stores. Establish a minimum dollar amount for orders before granting credit. Establish late payment penalties as part of your terms and conditions and enforce them. As your business grows, to speed up the receipt of cash, you may want to have your customers pay their bills online with direct deposit. Expenses and accounts payable. Many businesses forget that a crucial part of cash flow is managing their own bill paying. Make sure you pay your bills promptly. Ask for extended payment terms up front. After you have paid timely for 2 to 3 months, ask for additional extensions on your payable terms. A supplier will usually extend credit for 30 to 90 days to a good customer. Keep your overhead to a minimum. Before purchasing something new, set a goal for increasing sales to justify the expense. Preserve your investors' funds for costs directly related to business operations, not overhead, if at all possible. As your sales increase, you can purchase the overhead-related items from the cash flow, but only if you have set and achieved new, higher sales goals. General cash management. Have an investment plan for your cash on hand to maximize its earning potential. Establish a line of credit with your bank before you need it. To make sure you can move quickly to borrow if needed, keep an eye on your current assets-liabilities ratio. At least 2-to-1 is good. Quick ratios, liquid assets divided by current liabilities, should be over 1-to-1. Establish good internal controls on the handling of cash. The people who record the cash receipts on the bank deposits should be different from those who post it to the accounts receivable and general ledger. Checks should be endorsed immediately for deposit only. The people authorized to sign checks should not prepare the vouchers or record the disbursements and post to the accounts payable and general ledger. The person who reconciles the bank statement should have no regularly assigned functions related to cash receipts or cash disbursements. Our outside accountant does this. While this may sound very complicated, each step of cash management is important. Call on your accountant, banker, and personal financial advisor for advice in structuring your cash management system. Once you establish a system for how to manage your cash, ongoing supervision is still essential. Review your cash position and funding needs daily and prepare early for additional funding that may be required for your expanding business. Many people lose sight of cash management when their businesses become successful. This is a major cause of business failures. Proper cash management, and therefore expense management, is crucial to the ongoing success of any business. For those of you considering purchasing a franchise or joining a network marketing organization, you may find much of the cash management system will be provided for you. With a franchise, you will still need to implement the system and oversee it. Network marketing organizations often handle the cash management on your behalf. In these cases, the corporate headquarters performs the accounting functions for your organization and sends you a report of your earnings periodically with payment. In either case, it is still important to have your own advisors to help you structure your personal cash management. Chapter 33, Communications Management. Rich Dad would say, "The better at communicating you are, and the more people you communicate to, the better your cash flow will be." This is why communications management is the next level up on the BI triangle. He would also say, to be good at communication, you first need to be good at human psychology. You never know what motivates people. Just because something makes you excited does not mean it makes others excited. To be good at communication, you need to know what buttons to push. Different people have different buttons. He also said, many people are talking, but only a few are listening. The world is filled with fabulous products, but the money goes to the best communicators. I am always amazed at how little time business people put into improving their overall communication skills. When I first balked in 1974 at the idea of learning to sell Xerox machines door-to-door, all Rich Dad said was, "Poor people are poor communicators." I repeat this negative statement with the intent of inspiring further study and practice of this vast subject. Rich Dad also said, "Cash flowing into your business is in direct proportion to communication flowing out." Whenever I find a business that is struggling, it is often a reflection of poor communications going out, not enough communications going out, or both. In general, I find a 6-week cycle between communication and cash flow. Stop communicating today, and in 6 weeks, you will see an impact on your cash flow. However, external communications are not the only communications. Internal communications are also vital. By looking at the financial statements of a company, you can easily see which areas of a business are communicating and which are not. A public company has increased communications problems. It is like two companies in one for the public and one for the shareholders. Communication to both groups is vitally important. When I hear people say, "I wish I had not taken my company public," it usually means that they are having shareholder communication problems. As a general policy, Rich Dad attended one communications seminar a year. I continue in that tradition. I have always noticed that soon after I attend the seminar, my income increases. Over the years, I have attended courses on 1. Sales, 2. Marketing systems, 3. Advertising, headlines, and copywriting, 4. Negotiations, 5. Public speaking, 6. Direct mail advertising, 7. Running a seminar, 8. Raising capital. Of all of these topics, number 8, raising capital, interests budding entrepreneurs the most. When people ask me how to learn to raise capital, I refer them to numbers 1 through 7 above, explaining that raising capital requires each of them in one way or the other. Most businesses do not get off the ground because the entrepreneur does not know how to raise capital. As Rich Dad said, raising capital is the entrepreneur's most important job. He did not mean that the entrepreneur was constantly asking for money from investors. What he meant was that an entrepreneur was always ensuring that capital was flowing in, either through sales, direct marketing, private sales, institutional sales, investors, and so on. Rich Dad would say, until the business system is built, the entrepreneur is the system to keep the money flowing in. At the start of any business, keeping the cash flowing in is the entrepreneur's most important job. The other day, a young man came to me and asked, "I want to start my own business. What would you recommend I do before I start?" I answered with my usual response, "Get a job with a company that will train you in sales." He replied, "I hate sales. I don't like selling, and I don't like salespeople. I just want to be the president and hire salespeople." Once he said that, I simply shook his hand and wished him luck. A priceless lesson that Rich Dad taught me was, don't argue with people who ask for advice, but don't want the advice you're giving them. End the discussion immediately and go on minding your own business. Being able to communicate effectively with as many people as possible is a very important life skill. It is a skill worthy of annual updating, which I do by attending seminars. As Rich Dad told me, if you want to be a B quadrant person, your first skill is being able to communicate and speak the language of the other three quadrants. People in the other three quadrants can get away with speaking the language of only their quadrant, but those in the B quadrant cannot. Simply put, the primary, and possibly only, job of those in the B quadrant is to communicate with people in the other quadrants. I have recommended that people join a network marketing company to gain sales experience. Some network marketing organizations have excellent communications and sales training programs. I have seen shy, introverted individuals come out as powerful and effective communicators who are no longer afraid of rejection or ridicule. That thick-skinned mindset is vital for anyone in the B quadrant, especially when your personal communication skills are not yet polished. My first sales call. I still remember my first sales call on the street along Waikiki Beach. After spending about an hour working up the nerve to knock on the door, I finally got in to see the owner of a small tourist trinket store. He was an older gentleman who had seen new salespeople like me for years. After stammering and sweating through my memorized sales pitch on the benefits of a Xerox copier, all he did was laugh. After he was through laughing, he said, "Son, you're the worst I have ever seen. But keep going, because if you can get over your fears, your world will be very bright. If you quit,